It is Tuesday. Good morning. This is the Morning Liberty program. Thanks for tuning in. I'm R.J. Hender. I'm back. There are those of you who have heard somewhat about Planet X, and it's really difficult to know the truth of those matters, and so there is one expert that I believe we can get more intel from. So, John DiNardo, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me, R.J.
I'm thinking my conversation, that there's not a whole lot of fun in it, is it?
Well, it's fascinating, and it's a bit scary, but there is bright hope if we have a spiritual foundation.
I think the spiritual foundation has got to be in place, right, no matter what happens to us. And it's been interesting to see this last week, even Mother Nature having its way across America, whether it's Planet X or whether it's a wind, you know, these winds that have been tearing through California and through the Rocky Mountains. I was noticing yesterday that NASA has officially announced, I guess they call it Kepler 22b, that's a planet, they say, 600 light years away from us, that it looks very Earth-like. They say it has a temperature of about 72 degrees. And, John, how can they tell from here?
Well, these are all reports that are designed to make the public desensitized to what's really about to happen and is now happening in our solar system. You see, one of the aspects of mind control, disinformation psychology is to get people so confused and so jaded and bored with constant repetitive reports that they turn their minds off. And that's exactly what they want us to do. They want us to turn our minds off to the celestial events that are occurring that are causing these horrific weather phenomena, and also they want us to turn our minds off to the connection between these celestial events and the wars that are being concocted, the chaos that is being generated, and that's why they are giving us all these reports of celestial bodies so many light years away that they could never even be a threat to us. So why even report them?
Let's sink our teeth into one aspect of this. What do you think the cause of those Santa Ana winds could be?
Okay, here's what happens. The jet stream, if you look back at the records, the National Weather Service records, of these weather maps that go back to the 1960s and the 1970s and 1980s, you will see that the front of the jet stream, the pattern of the jet stream, pretty much approximates the shape of the U.S.-Canadian border, which is essentially horizontal across the northern hemisphere, a little bit of a dip to it, the U.S.-Canadian border. And that's what we used to see in the wintertime. We would see these cold fronts dip down, sort of like you would pull a window shade down. The outline of the jet stream would remain relatively horizontal. Now, what we've been seeing is something extraordinary and bizarre and very worrisome ever since for the last 8 or 9 years, and that is the jet stream no longer comes down horizontally, but it comes down like a W. If you could visualize a capital W covering the entire United States with the peak of the W extending into Canada and the trough of the W extending all the way down into Mexico and into the Gulf of Mexico. That's what we've been seeing, and that's what is causing all this horrific weather. You see, when the jet stream starts to go vertical, you have visualized that W superimposed on the map of the United States. That's cold air inside the trough.
Well,
and
tell
and
us,
on
John,
the leading edge of
how
the
you
w,
think that they could cause the jet stream to go vertical.
Oh, they didn't cause it. No, this is being caused by celestial bodies coming into our solar system. This planet, which is, and I can show you the evidence for it before people even begin to believe what I'm telling them. I could be wasting my breath by telling them about what's happening and how these celestial bodies are affecting the sun and also causing, inducing electromagnetic waves into our solar system that are causing the Earth's mostly molten iron core to become upset and thus to generate this contorted, convoluted jet stream. Now, I first need to give them basic evidence to absolutely prove that this is happening before I get into...
Well, do that for us. Let's start here, John.
Pardon me?
John, let's start here. I know that there are people in the audience who don't know you. So let's do that for a minute. Let's take a moment and allow people to get to know you. What part of the country are you from?
What kind of upbringing did you have?
And what events in your life helped to shape and mold who you are and what you now do? Help us become a little familiar with you, please. Let's start there.
I live in northern New Jersey. I began in the United States Marine Corps, was trained as an aircraft electronics technician, was discharged from the Marine Corps after 4 years and 7 months, went to college as a science education major, got my bachelor's degree in science education, specializing in physics and biology. I taught high school physics, and then returned back to my first love, which was electronics, doing design work, troubleshooting analysis, and circuit design work for numerous corporations, including 20 years with Bell Telephone Laboratories. And after retirement, I got very much interested in this Planet X issue. And it was a spiritual guidance, too. God has been drawing me, too. And I think that's the main reason why I've got involved in this subject. Well, that basically explains very briefly, gives you a little background on my life. But I wanted to explain to you, to show you absolute proof that this thing is coming.
Tell us when you began to notice.
I'm giving you, and then just believe it. You need to see the absolute convincing proof.
When was it that you began to notice Planet X and its evidence?
In 2002.
And what was it that caused you to take notice?
It was actually the first time I heard about it was announced on one of the shortwave Patriot broadcasts. It was a book by Mark Hazelwood, and never having heard of Planet X, never having read the book, immediately I knew it was true. And the reason I knew it was because it was God inspires people with thoughts, okay? You don't hear God's voice, but you get inspirational thoughts from God, especially when...
See, I believe that. I believe you that happens for people. Go ahead.
Especially when you commune with God. He guides us. If we give our attention to God, and I had been giving my attention to God ever since the late 1990s, and I think this was guidance from him. But let me show you I've got a photocopy, an actual photocopy of the New York Times report, which really gives you tremendous evidence as to this planet. And I went to the library, and I put it on the Internet so that people would not disbelieve it. They have to see the actual article from the New York Times. I got it in front of me. And I'll send you a JPEG, very high resolution, clear picture of this photo, New York Times article, Sunday, January 30th, 1983. Title of this New York Times article is Clues Get Warm in the Search for Planet X. So you see, they called it Planet X way back then. The author of this New York Times report is John Noble Wilford. Quote, "Something out there beyond the farthest reaches of the known solar system seems to be tugging at Uranus and Neptune. Some gravitational force keeps perturbing the two giant planets, causing irregularities in their orbits. The force suggests a presence far away and unseen, a large object that may be the long-sought Planet X." So you see, even in 1983, they were saying this term, Planet X, had been used for a long time, and they had been searching for this Planet X for a long time, even prior to 1983.
I remember, John, as you and I have come together before, you'd mentioned it's like somebody grabbing your elbow and pulling it is the kind of tug that it's having on the Earth already.
Precisely. And that's what they noticed in the outer bounds of the solar system, these outer planets, Uranus and Neptune. Every time they reached a particular point in their huge orbital track, racetrack, so to speak, around the sun, they would dip downward. The planets would dip downward like a little blip, like as if a runner, as you say, a runner were running around a circular track and one of the bystanders would grab the elbow of the runner and jerk him off the track every time he passed by. That's what they saw happening, and they immediately knew there was no other explanation for this phenomenon except that some celestial body was out there, sort of below the plane of the orbits of the planets, pulling down on these outer planets. They knew it immediately. But continuing on, evidence assembled in recent years has led several groups of astronomers to renew the search for this 10th planet. And they go on to show how their telescopes have been looking at it. They say, now we're launching the Infrared Astronomical Satellite. This was in 1983. It's called the Infrared Astronomical Satellite, IRAS for short. It was boosted into a 560-mile high polar orbit back then in Vandenberg, from Vandenberg Air Force Base. It was a joint effort of the U.S. and the Netherlands and Britain. And the article goes on to say that astronomers observed planet Uranus, noting irregularities in its orbital path. Many speculated that they were witnessing the gravitational pull of an unknown planet. So began the first planetary search based on astronomers' predictions, which ended in the 1840s with the discovery of Neptune. So you see, way back in the early 1800s, they were looking for this, what they call Planet X. Well, anyway, I'll cut this short. I'll get to the essence of the article. Quote, recent calculations by the United States Naval Observatory have confirmed the orbital perturbation, that's a pulling or tugging, the orbital perturbation exhibited by Uranus and Neptune has been confirmed, which Dr. Thomas C. Van Flandern, an astronomer at the observatory, says could be explained by, quote, a single undiscovered planet, unquote. He and colleague Dr. Robert Harrington, incidentally, many believe that Dr. Harrington was murdered back in 1993, January. He and a colleague, Dr. Robert Harrington, calculated that the 10th planet should be 2 to 5 times more massive than Earth and have a highly elliptical orbit that takes it some 5 billion miles beyond that of Pluto. Now, here's a key statement. 5 billion miles is hardly next door. Hardly next door, but still within the gravitational influence of the sun. Well, what does that tell you? This is my comment now. I'm breaking away from the article for a second. That tells you they are stating that it's within the gravitational force field of the sun, that means it must be still continually pulled in toward the sun, even to this day. For example, if you have an asteroid in space and it happens to come close enough, or a meteor that comes close enough to Earth in space, that Earth captures that object in its gravitational force field, Earth will suck it in, and that object will accelerate to the Earth, and that meteors often accelerate toward the Earth and crash into the Earth, and once they crash, they're called meteorites instead of meteors. And that happens. That's a phenomenon of gravity. We all know that gravity works, whether it be a meteor crashing into Earth or a distant brown dwarf star, a huge, massive body that's being sucked in by the even greater gravitational force field of our sun. So there's evidence that this thing has got to be accelerating in, because the scientists tell us that, indeed, it's within the gravitational force field of our sun. Now, I'll just continue, and I'll finish this article real quickly. At a scientific defenders of the 10th planet theory say that material falling, this is trying to discredit some other theories about black holes and all that stuff, more credence was given to the hypothesis by these astronomers that a brown dwarf star accounts for the mysterious gravitational force. And so what I'll do is tell you what a brown dwarf star is. Basically, it's a baby sun that never got big enough to actually ignite, but it sort of smolders, you know. It smolders and it emits primarily infrared light, which is invisible to the eye, but it can be detected with infrared instruments, and that's why they sent up the Infrared Astronomical Satellite in 1983, because they even stated here that their sole purpose, the primary purpose of this launching of the Infrared Astronomical Satellite, was to detect this Planet X. Now, after 11 months, that was January 83 when it was launched, December 83, we have front page report. Now they're becoming more secretive. Witness from this front page report of the Washington Post, which I also photocopied from my library. Washington Post, December 30th, 1983, the infrared astronomical satellite had achieved its mission. It had spotted this brown dwarf star. And here's the article titled, front page, Washington Post, December 30th, 1983. Mystery heavenly body discovered possibly as large as Jupiter, by Thomas O'Toole, Washington Post staff writer. Quote, a heavenly body possibly as large as the giant planet Jupiter and possibly so close to Earth that it would be part of this solar system has been found in the direction of the constellation Orion by an orbiting telescope aboard the U.S. infrared astronomical satellite. Now, here's where they begin to lie and say, well, we don't know what this thing is, whereas they told us 11 months earlier in the New York Times that they knew exactly what it is. It's the long-sought Planet X, which I just read to you that article. Now they're going to lie and just twist the truth a little bit. Quote, so mysterious is this object that astronomers do not know if it is a planet, a giant comet, a nearby protostar. Incidentally, a protostar is actually a brown dwarf star, a baby star, that never got hot enough to become a star, a distant galaxy so young that it is still in the process of forming its first stars, or a galaxy, that's ridiculous, a galaxy, so shrouded in dust that none of the light cast by its stars ever gets through. Quote, all I can tell you is that we don't know what it is, Dr. Jerry Neugebauer, IRAS, Chief Scientist for California's Jet Propulsion Laboratory and Director of the Palomar Observatory for the California Institute of Technology, said in an interview. The most fascinating explanation of this mystery body, which is so close that it casts no light, it's so cold that it casts no light and has never been seen by optical telescopes on Earth or in space, the theory is that it is a giant gaseous planet as large as Jupiter and as close to Earth as 50 billion miles. While that may seem like a great distance in Earthbound terms, it is a stone's throw in cosmological terms, so close, in fact, that it would be the nearest heavenly body to Earth beyond the outermost planet, Pluto. And I'll just continue reading that Washington Post article right there. So you see,
hang on just a moment. And I'm glad you're with us today, and I'm really glad we've taken the time to cover this. It's still difficult, I think, to wrap our minds around. And I think as we take a look at, okay, what is the impact? Even the winds, the outrageous winds we've had for the last couple of days are evidence of this thing on its way. Isn't that amazing?
Absolutely. It's getting horrific, and we have to wake up to the reality that this thing will not go away. It's going to get worse, and that's the reason I'm on this program right now, is to tell people, I know it's easy for us to rationalize and say, well, you know, it's getting bad, but maybe it'll get better. Things will always get better. That's what they said during the Depression. It'll get better. But
if we ignore it, maybe it'll go away.
Right. I mean, if you have a tumor and you keep on saying every day, well, it'll go away, and it gets larger and larger, eventually you're going to die. So what I'm trying to do is warn people so that they don't die, so they can protect themselves physically. And then when it gets to the point where we can't even protect ourselves, it's beyond physical protection, then God promises to protect
us. Apparently, officials from NASA and officials from Washington, D.C. are already preparing for even greater impact from this Planet X.
I'll give you evidence as to their underground cities. I have a lot of evidence in that regard. But first, let me give you some evidence from one of the leading leaders, one of the most prestigious leaders in the world.
Yeah, please do. By the way, we have about 5 minutes before our first commercial break, so go ahead.
Pope John Paul II, okay? This was in Germany. I'm looking at a report. There was a German magazine, and I'll give you the name of the German magazine, STIMMEDESGLAUBENS. That's the name of the German magazine. And it says here that Pope John Paul II had a meeting with a select group of German Catholics in November of 1980. The following is a verbatim report of his discussion, the Pope's discussion. The Pope John Paul II was asked, quote, "What about the third secret of Fatima? Should it not have already been published by 1960? Let me just give you a brief rundown of what they're saying. The third secret of Fatima was in 1917. There were three peasant girls that were given a vision of an angel, from an angel. And this angel told them three secrets. The third secret was kept and never revealed. It was given only to the Pope in 1917, but the Popes throughout those years promised, vowed that they would reveal this secret to the world in 1960. Now, around the late 1950s, there was a tremendous growing fervor among Catholics all over the world to hear the revelation of this third secret. They were sort of a little bit scared, terrified, and fascinated to await this revelation of the third secret of Fatima. Well, what happened? It never was revealed. Now, here, that's why they're saying, what about the third secret? This here is 1980, and the 1960 revelation had never occurred. Pope John Paul II replied, quote, "Given the seriousness of the contents, my predecessors in the Petrine office diplomatically preferred to postpone publication so as not to encourage the world power of communism to make certain moves." That was their cover story. That was their false, allusion to the third
secret.
So
that would have been the reasoning in 1917.
Well, no, the Pope was lying. The Church had decided to come up with another because they did not want to reveal the actual secret, so they created a phony.
You're suggesting the Pope would lie? No, John. Would you suggest such a thing?
Of course. But anyway, this is his quotation from the Pope. This whole thing.
So are you suggesting on a regular basis, even from a Pope, that we get what's called, they determine what they will tell us. They call it, this is for public consumption, where they withhold, right? They keep much of the intel themselves, and they give us, you know, what they think we may want to hear or something.
That's politics, whether it be political or religious, it's all politics. But anyway,
so we get half-truths or maybe quarter-truths where they maintain the rest of the evidence, the rest of the truth. Wow.
Exactly. I mean, it's always done that way because they want to maintain control. The whole purpose is of these leaders, whether they be the New World Order, the Illuminati, or the Catholic Church, is that they want to maintain control over the population, its power. And you keep power by giving them the information you want to keep them obedient to keep the people obedient to the leaders. But anyway,
and we give them more credit than they deserve by calling them leaders.
Well, they're leaders, but they are betraying leaders. Just like all of our presidents, most of our presidents have been.
Yeah,
but,
they are the wrong people in those positions.
The wrong people always get into the highest positions. That's because the world is, the scum rises to the top, so to speak. Well, anyway.
There's the music.
I don't want to use
that
term, but.
John, hang on.
Okay,
we'll continue this discussion
later.
On the other side of the break. This is the Morning Liberty Program. With us today is John DiNardo. We are talking about Planet X. I'm R.J. Hender, right here at the Micro Effect Network, and we'll continue the discussion right after this. It is 36 minutes after the hour. This is the Morning Liberty Program. Thanks for tuning in. I'm R.J. Hender, and with us today is John DiNardo. And, John, we have a couple of callers. Thanks for joining us today. Could you share with us your website so people can take a look at more of your evidence, and then we'll begin taking our callers?
Thelightofdayradioshow.com.
Could you say that one more time, please?
Thelightofdayradioshow.com.
Just like it sounds, right?
Yes, right. It's a long name. I'm trying to get the webmaster to change that name, but if you can just remember the light of day, and then add the words radioshow.com.
Thelightofdayradioshow.com. Okay.
Right. There's a Planet X logo at the top. Just click on that Planet X logo, and that'll take you to a huge Planet X page with mostly audios of my radio drama. I've had a radio drama of titled Planet X in Bible Prophecy now going for the last 7.5 years on shortwave radio.
Very good. And we will take another hour and a half or so this morning to talk about your evidence. And let's see, caller number 2 is Jim in Texas. Caller number 1, I don't have a name or where you're calling from. Could you tell us your name and where you're calling from this morning?
Good morning, RJ. Hello, RJ, yeah. I guess that's me. This is Michael in New York. Good morning.
There you go. what's on your mind?
Hey, RJ, good morning. John, well, you know, I'm not calling to give John a hard time, and John, I find it very interesting, but just don't, you can't use the Fatima situation for your Planet X theory, and here's why, sir. And it wasn't 3 girls, it was 2 girls and a boy, Jacinta, Lucia, and Fernando, or Ferdinand, and they were all a brother, sister, and a cousin. And Jacinta, to this day, her body hasn't decomposed upon death, and she's at the Vatican with the others that are in a similar state. They're called the incorruptible. Now, the third secret that you referred to was that that they wanted the church to try to keep from the public was that the angel that you call the angel was actually appearing as what seemed to be the Virgin Mary. And she told the kids that the earth is going through a transition at the end of the century. So this was in 1917. She's referring to the end of the 20th century when the earth was going to go through a transition and that the earth was going to be restored to a beautiful habitation of peaceful, like garden, that no more suffering, misery, death, anything like that, which the Father, God, the Creator, intended for this world. And now this transition, though, to get to that, like, golden age would be very smooth as long as the people on the planet were dwelling according to her son's dictates or commands.
The Lord Jesus
living
Christ.
Peacefully and in harmony.
The Son of God.
Now, and so she said that if the people of the earth continue living the way they are, caught up in a lot of materialism, then the materialism toward the end of the century will get so profound, so bad, so debased, that the transition will be hard and rough, so much so that her son will use communism as a scourge around the whole planet in order for the bad karma to basically...
Well, you've got some of it right, but can I cut you off? Your ideas. You've got the general idea right. God is saying the world is going to go through a transition. How do we know that? Because it's stated throughout the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the book of Revelation, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. God the Son, God the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that there will be, read it, there will be pestilences, there will be famines, there will be earthquakes in diverse places. I'm quoting God. And now the Pope. Let's go to the Pope and see how he confirms this. You have the basic idea right. God is saying he's going to bring a transition to this world unless we turn to him. And this is his whole purpose. He's trying to get us to turn our hearts and our minds to God and to recognize his presence so that we can dwell with him and that when we die, we will be with him forever. But if we ignore him and go on with this fun life, pretending or believing that he doesn't exist, then when we die, we will not have eternal life. That's the whole essence of the Bible. That's the whole essence of the Word of God. So he's bringing his judgment. Now, let me tell you what the Pope says. You gave me your interpretation of it. I'm going to give you the Pope's actual answer. He's the one who was privy to this third secret, all right? For this is from the German magazine, Stimme des Glaubens, in October 1981. Now, again, the Pope was asked, why hasn't the third secret of Fatima been published? And he went on to say, and this was the quote I was trying to get to. This is from the Pope John Paul II, quote, it should be sufficient for all Christians to know this. If there is a message in which it is written that the oceans will flood whole areas of the earth and that from one moment to the next, millions of people will perish, truly the publication of such a message is no longer something to be so much desired. End of quote. So you did not bring that up in your statement about the destruction of the earth and the floods overrunning land masses. But the Pope did. The Pope mentioned this. in a confidential meeting between high-level Catholics in Germany in 1980.
Okay.
Okay. So.
Okay, John, hang on.
Can I move on with the information?
Mike, I think you made a really good point about those bodies you say that are not decomposing, right, that the Vatican has in possession?
Yes, if I may, let me just complete the Fatima.
How long does the caller get to? You know, I've got a lot of information I really like to put out,
and
it's sort of really sidetracking me.
I won't. Well, I'm not going to.
John,
go
ahead, Mike, just another moment. Mike, go ahead and make your point.
Okay, thank you. You brought up Fatima, John, and I just want to clarify Fatima because you're leaving a lot out. And so...
Wait, Mike,
yes,
hang on.
What am I leaving out? What the Pope said?
Okay, well, hold on.
John will make the rest of his points. I've kind of jumped into here and had some of the conversation, and I know
yes.
you have good points to make. Mike, go ahead and finish your
point. Okay, thank you. Okay, so regarding the incorruptibles, RJ, yes, Jacinta, her body has not decomposed to this day, and there's others that... at the Vatican keep, and they display once in a while. They look like they're in a suspended state of, like, animation. They're sleeping, but their bodies have not decomposed, so they call them the incorruptible. And all of them are supposedly had experienced the appearance of Mary personally, and so that's the story on the incorruptibles. No, the Fatima experience, though, and the third secret was that if mankind doesn't get their act together, then the transition to the golden age will be very difficult. And
Michael, you stated that already. You stated that already, and I just agree with you.
John, let me. I had to reiterate that so I can get to the punch. Okay, and so the transition will be difficult if mankind doesn't get his act together, and the Lord will use communism as a scourge around the planet. And here we are. As the United States becoming totally communistic, our president praises Mao Zedong, and the previous president said it'd be easy if it was a dictatorship so long as it's a dictator. We can see Bolshevism establishing itself here, and nobody's going to argue that point.
I agree with you, Michael. I agree with you completely.
Okay,
they're using communism to enslave us. I agree.
Okay,
you're right.
This is the Fatima. John, this is part of the Fatima story. And so the Pope wouldn't reveal that. Because the person that spoke to the kids said that nation will even be annihilated during that transition if mankind doesn't get his act together. Now, lastly, the sun dislocated at the Fatima experience is about 70,000 people present. And it was pouring rain. Everything was soaking wet. The three kids were kidnapped by the fascist Portuguese government. And so there was a big event coming, and the fascist government tried to prevent the kids from going and attending. And so they got there late because they finally released them because of the crowd of people that was showing up. They were afraid the people were going to come and get them. So they let the kids go. And so at that point, the sun dislocates, and it hurtles towards the earth, and the people are on their knees crying, thinking it's the end of the world. And then suddenly the sun is back in its natural position. And they tell us today that it was all mass hallucination by 70,000 people, but what they don't tell us is that everything was bone dry after that event. Everything was soaking wet, even a lot of mud, and everything was bone dry. So now, lastly, it looks like it's through the sun that the Lord is going to use this big cleansing, and that's why in the Bible, sir, at Prophet Malachi, behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, ye all the wicked, shall be stubble on the day that I do this, saith the Lord, leaving neither root nor branch.
Okay,
but
I agree. I agree.
Fear my name,
Michael, listen, wait, I got to stop you. You're going
Mike,
on. You're getting
Mike,
a lot of time
John,
on this.
John, go ahead.
Okay.
And Mike, you basically
I think
really
I've heard everything
points.
You
John,
have.
John, go.
Okay.
Okay,
look,
well.
I agree with you, Michael.
Mike, hang on.
Agreement.
Go ahead, John.
But the God is saying, and everything you're saying is correct. God is using communism because communism is Satan, is God using Satan to enslave us and force us to make a decision. Satan is ruling the communist movement. Communism is by capitalists who rule the world. They're trying to enslave us. But these capitalists who worship, whom they call Lucifer, are really guided by Satan. But it's all part of God's plan. God's question is, are you going to follow me, saith the Lord, or are you going to follow the devil? And everybody will be forced to take the mark. So I agree with you precisely that communism is a part of God's judgment upon this earth. But you have to, I'm trying to get you back. I'm trying to steer you back.
It's interesting, John, as we take a look at America, there are many ways that we could define America now as a fascist nation. And there are many ways, if you take a look at, for example, this Senate bill, 1897, just passed by the Senate, where, oh my word, this could become a nation under martial law. Obama could be like a Hitler here in this country. Here it is, at our very doors, John.
This is all part of Satan's plan, and God is guiding Satan to really oppress the peoples of this world so that people will be forced to get off the fence, to get out of the stands, and to get onto the playing field and make a decision. Which side are you going to play on? Are you going to play it for God, or are you going to play for Satan? If you play for Satan, you're going to ultimately take the mark of the beast, and then God will destroy that person who takes that mark in his right hand in order to buy.
I agree with you. I think many people have been on the fence for too long. Mike, anything else before we let you go?
Yes, thank you. Real quick. So I just wanted to say that Fatima can't be a good example of trying to present your Planet X case, John. But what would be possibly, okay, because I am a scientist.
You're wrong. It is a good one. I just gave you the quote from the Pope.
Well, yeah, but that was referring to the spread of communism. I got an echo. That's why I keep
saying
you didn't hear what I said.
Mike,
you
I
didn't
have
hear what I read
caller
from
I need
the
to
Pope.
Move on to from Texas. So finish with one last point, please. And I appreciate you listening, and I appreciate you calling in. You always make good points. Please finish with one point, and then we'll go on to the next caller.
Oh, you bet. Thank you. And so with Planet X, if anything, even though Hazelwood was way off because supposedly by, 2 years ago we were supposed to start seeing the Southern Hemisphere, they were all saying that, and yet there's no indicator. Okay, so this obviously
you're
not
wrong.
Too accurate. But
you're
here,
wrong.
Scientifically,
it's being cited already. But go ahead.
Well, I don't know anybody seeing it. I know people
around
the globe.
You don't know because you haven't been researching it.
Yet,
you don't
but,
know.
But, well, again, it was supposed to be visible to the naked eye at least 2 years ago, John, and I got people around the world looking and nobody's seen it with their naked eye.
Anybody
yet.
Who sets dates is wrong. Don't go by the fact that the
well,
people
I'm just
who set
I,
dates
I,
with
all
Michael.
I just was saying that Hazelwood was not, a lot of people were wrong. John, this is impossible. I just can't do this interview.
Thank
I'm
you
not
for listening
this
and thank you for your
argument.
Points. As John continues sharing this morning, I hope you'll see more relevance to his point and to his presentation this morning. Again, Mike, thank you very much. Okay?
Somebody who sets a date as a guideline for saying, well, this doesn't exist. That's as ridiculous as saying, well, the bus is late, therefore the bus does not exist. That's what Michael's saying. And that's what I'm trying to say. Sure, Hazelwood was wrong because he was given disinformation by the disinformation crew. They spent millions of dollars. The U.S. intelligence agents were feeding him false information, telling him that it would come in 2003 because they know based on basic principles of mind control and disinformation that if you tell somebody that something's going to happen and it doesn't happen, then people lose all confidence.
I remember even before January was arriving, John, in the year 2000, that there were commentators like Jeff Rentz and Art Bell and a few others who were daring to talk about Planet X. And I think there were many people who were expecting it to have arrived already, right? And I appreciate the intel. It's like I think many people have just forgotten Planet X or have just discredited the whole thing.
That's where they accomplished their purpose by giving us the disinformation that was coming in 2003. This is basic U.S. intelligence, CIA disinformation techniques that you tell them it's going to happen, and then when it doesn't happen, then nobody believes it anymore. So that's what the purpose was. But let me read the quote from the Pope again. Now, this is Michael did not bring this out.
Then we'll go to Jim in Texas. Go ahead.
Michael did not bring this out. I'm going to read the quote again. This is right from the Pope and from this German magazine, and you can get it on the Internet. Quote, on the other hand, it should be sufficient. This is Pope John Paul II. For all Christians to know this, if there is a message in which it is written that the oceans will flood whole areas of the earth and that from one moment to the next millions of people will perish, truly, the publication of such a message is no longer something to be so much desired. Now, I believe Michael, if this is the Michael I'm thinking of, lives on Long Island or Staten Island, New York. Those people will be victims of the coming East Coast tsunami, which is being generated by the incoming Planet X, and it's a trauma upon planet Earth, which is going to cause this tsunami, which has been predicted by the geologists stationed in these Canary Islands, where they say the island of La Palma, when that volcanic island slides into the ocean, it will generate what their scientific calculations show to be a tsunami wave, very high, much higher than the one we saw in 2004 in the Indian Ocean, and it will wipe out the entire East Coast, including Long Island, Staten Island, Baltimore, Boston, New York, and Miami. And that's what I'm trying to warn people about, and try not to get distracted by people who are trying to pull me away from this warning. This is urgent.
I'm thinking at this point in your life, having retired from your activity at Bell Telephone, and also from being a school teacher, you could quietly, you know, walk away into the sunset, okay, in retirement, but you're not. You're raising your voice about these things, and I appreciate, John, the intel that you bring to the conversation. Before we go into the next commercial break here in a couple of minutes, let's see if we can squeeze in Jim from Texas. He's been waiting for a while. Thanks for your patience, Jim. You're on the air. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you. Good morning to both of y'all. Appreciate the minute here. Planet X is real. I'm getting a slap back in my ear. Planet X is real. The Old Testament is the empirical evidence to everything you're talking about. You just have to know how to decipher it. Planet X comes around every 3,600 years. It passes between Jupiter and Mars in the asteroid belt area. It comes in from the south. The old Psalms and the Old Testament are nothing but a tribute to it. The Lord that comes in from the south is a psalm dedicated to Planet X. Job, a whole book is dedicated to Planet X. Isaiah and all his prophecies are dedicated to Planet X. Planet X is Nibiru. That's the Sumerian name for it. And the Old Testament is a condensed version of the Sumerian text from way, way back.
Yes, everything you say is correct as far as I know it, according to my studies. Everything. It is indeed comes in every 36 and a half centuries. Why is it so punctual? Because it is like a cosmic pendulum. Comets, it's on a cometary orbit, and a comet, by definition, is periodic. It swings in and out of our solar system.
It is not a comet.
Halley's Comet can be predicted every 75 years.
This planet has been here since the beginning of time. It is what created the planet that we live on now. The planet we live on used to be called Tiamat. Tiamat was split in half by Planet X. It was cut in half by its moons called the Evil Wind from the South.
Our moon used
to be a living planet. It was produced by Tiamat. In the epoch of creation, Tiamat and Planet X had a duel, and Tiamat lost. It became Earth. It was pushed into its orbit that we live in now.
Right. These are the ancient texts that you're quoting from the Epic of Gilgamesh, and I've read some of that.
I'm going back further than Gilgamesh. I'm going back half a million years before Gilgamesh.
Right. No, I understand, Jim. What you're saying, everything is correct, but I would not get too deeply into theorizing what happened billions and billions of years ago.
No. I'm talking about empirical evidence. Zachariah Sitchin has a series of books. There's seven books, and it is a 3,000-page intense study of the Old Testament. If you want to read it, it's all there.
I read Zechariah Sitchin, and Zechariah Sitchin, and I studied the Bible and prayed the Bible quite a bit, and I can tell you, Sitchin is correct in many ways. Much of his evidence is correct.
He is
but when he tries to venture too far, that's when he gets off track, and he has gotten off track. For example, when he cites the Old Testament, I've seen quotations there that he doesn't even tell you where it came from, and then I checked the actual Hebrew, and I found out that he's really stretching his information, like he's trying to show you evidence from the Old Testament, and I'm trying to remember the exact verses, but he doesn't
even put it together.
Hang
on.
He relies on our ignorance of the Bible.
Jim from Texas,
thank you for the points
you've made. This is the Morning Liberty Program, live at the Micro Effect Network, and we'll continue in a moment. Thanks for tuning in. This is the Morning Liberty Program, and there is a lot of information that we have not got to yet. And John DiNardo, I appreciate you joining us today.
Well, what Jim said was absolutely correct, but he went a little... He went to areas that are very difficult, if not impossible, to prove, talking about what happened billions of years ago and how, and I've read this too, that some of the entourage of celestial bodies that surround, gravitationally surround Planet X as it comes into our solar system, these bodies acted like more or less like a shotgun blast and hit this planet, Tiamat, which, and I believe there's a lot of, it's, sounds perfectly reasonable to me, but I just don't want to venture into something that happened billions and billions of years ago because we don't have the evidence for it, except that we do have the asteroid belt, which is, if you look at the orbits of the planets, there's planet Earth, the third planet from the sun, and then further out there's another orbital ring called that of Mars, the fourth planet from the sun, and then beyond Mars there's another orbital ring, which is a trail of debris, asteroids. And it's called the asteroid belt. And it's very likely that the incoming Planet X or one of its shotgun blasts of celestial bodies crashed into a large planet called Tiamat and caused the asteroid belt to form from the debris, the scattered debris. And Earth could have even been formed from a piece of Tiamat, which is what Jim was alluding to. But again, it's really not that important, is it? When you stop and think about this, object is coming in again, and as Jim said, it comes in every 36 and a half centuries, and we know it like clockwork, so we can look back and say, well, now we've got a warning from our ancestors that this thing is coming in. How do we know that it comes in? First of all, I've got to prove to you that it does come in every 36 and a half centuries.
That Zachariah Sitchin's work was presented to me, and I did read through a couple of his books. And I understand that he is also connected to Freemasonry. I'm concerned about that. And
right.
As I took a look at the works of Zachariah Sitchin, for me, I believe that, okay, he's got some interesting science there, but I don't believe all his conclusions.
I agree with
and
you.
And I think that we need to continue taking a look at the evidence, okay, and realize that God is in charge. I'm not in charge here, okay? And last hour, John, I appreciate your patience. As every one of us have opinions, every one of us have experience, I'm doing my best here so that everybody's opinions can be shared, and I do learn from people I agree with, and I do learn from people I don't agree with, and I think Mike had some tremendous comments, and I think so did Jim from Texas. And our phone number, in case you would like to participate in the conversation, is 1-888-747-1968, 1-888-747-1968. It's interesting, as we're talking about the impact of these celestial bodies, many of us are having impacts now because of the wind that had been coming. They call it the Santa Ana winds that hit California and the Rockies during the last weekend. Tremendous winds, beyond 100 miles an hour in some areas, wiping out trucks and highways and trees and all kinds of things. Talking about a celestial body striking us, you know, talk to a woman who has a tree fall and strike her house, okay? This reality is affecting us now. And many of us, because it didn't happen on January 1, the year 2000, have discounted Planet X. It's like we have gone on believing it's all a lie, it's not going to happen. And John, you're still warning us that this thing is still on its way.
Right. Don't let the CIA disinformation techniques mislead you into thinking that because the bus is late, the bus does not exist. That is ridiculous. Yeah, that's what they succeeded in doing with Mark Hazelwood. Mark Hazelwood did great work in putting out information about Planet X. But, and now nobody believes it. But now they're beginning to realize that it was true. It's just that he was misled by the power elite. And he talked about the disinfo crew quite often, how they were trying to destroy him and his father. His father was a famous musician, Lee Hazelwood. And they were putting the information out, and disinfo agents were disrupting their work and giving them false stuff. But anyway, and we're getting more of this false information right now. As President Nixon said, when the elite or the shadow government commits a crime, it's not so much the crime that incriminates them, but it's their cover-up that incriminates them. And that's what we see right here. Where is the cover-up? The cover-up is in all the phony stories that are being propagated by the power elite in the mass media. They're talking about this cosmic source and this other body that came in, and another brown dwarf star and another object and another planet's been discovered, and that's their whole purpose. Even Mark Hazelwood warned about that back in 2002. He said when Planet X really starts getting close, they're going to bombard you with a whole horde of incoming stories about incoming objects, so that you will become so desensitized that you'll say, I'm sick of hearing about these planets. Leave me alone. Let me just watch the baseball game. And that's exactly
one of these meteors was supposed to finish the world at the end of September, I believe. We were told the world would end at the end of September.
Right.
And
that was another
like every month, it seems, every year, we get another, pontificator telling us their justification on how the world is about to end, and this is why. And I appreciate, John, that you have your intel, your evidence there at your site, thelightofdayradioshow.com, so we can take a look at it for ourselves.
Yes, and let me show you the evidence as to what this thing coming in punctually every 36 and a half centuries. If you go back 36 and a half centuries, we have scientific evidence as to the explosion of the great Santorini volcano in the Aegean Sea. Geologists tell us that around 1650 BC, or 36 and a half centuries ago, that volcano exploded. It has a caldera with water, a basin of water at the top. It destroyed the entire Minoan civilization. And if you look at the book of Exodus in the Bible, please read the book of Exodus, because the book of Revelation is Exodus deja vu. Exodus is about to happen all over again. If you want to know the 10 plagues that are going to occur, read Revelation, but then also read Exodus, because it tells us about the first signs we saw were the fish dying in the waters, the waters turning red, an infestation of frogs, insects and frogs. Well, there's all biological and ecological reasons why these things happened. They're not just myths, but they're actually scientifically based, and we can expect it again, because this wrecking ball comes in every 36 and a half centuries like clockwork, because it's on a cometary orbit.
John, let me ask you about this lunar eclipse that's scheduled to occur here in just a couple of days. Are you familiar with that, and as that occurs, And I guess the moon is expected to appear like red blood. Will that come from any impact from this Planet X thing?
I wasn't following the eclipse, because I'm getting so much information that I'm flooded with that it's hard to keep track of every little thing. But what the scientists tell us, and what ancient historians tell us they have witnessed, it will be this planet. It is surrounded by a dust cloud because of its tremendous mass. Its mass is estimated by the scientists who say it's a brown dwarf star. I just read that to you from the 1983 New York Times. They say it's a brown dwarf star. Well, if you look up the mass of even a puny, let's be conservative, a puny brown dwarf star, it's about 3 Jupiter masses. That's a small brown dwarf star. Well, what's one Jupiter mass? Jupiter's mass is 318 Earth masses. That's Jupiter. So if you have a puny brown dwarf star, which is about 3 Jupiter masses, that's getting close to 1,000 Earth masses. So it, because of its mass, the larger the mass, the greater the gravitational force of attraction. It becomes like a very strong magnet. So when it travels through space, it picks up all kinds of debris. It picks up everything, every sized object, from small planets to comets to asteroids to meteors to rocks, boulders, and even fine red iron oxide dust. And it's this red iron dust, right now it's in a cloud. It's been spotted by the United States secret South Pole Telescope, and we have pictures of it. You can find a picture that was leaked by one of the scientists or technicians at the South Pole Telescope back in early 2008. This picture shows a red, hazy ball. It looks like a red flame is trailing from behind it, and that's indicative of the dust cloud that surrounds this brown dwarf star as it's being gravitationally accelerated in, sucked in, by our sun's 1/3 of a million Earth masses of gravitational pull. So it's coming in. It's been sighted. We got the pictures of it. Somebody leaked it, and I think that person who leaked it probably was executed for being courageous and humanitarian enough to share this with the world.
Now, John, I don't want you to be taken out, but certainly if you ever come upon this video evidence yourself, feel free to send it my way. I would be happy to post it at morningliberty.com.
Okay. Marshall Masters is the one who put it on his website, so I'll get it for you. Anyway, we have evidence from the South Pole Telescope. That's the harshest environment in the world. So why would they erect this multi-million-dollar building with this infrared telescope right at the South Pole, right on top of the South Pole?
It's true, and they don't let just anybody go down there.
Oh, right, exactly. It's extremely expensive. It's extremely dangerous. The reason is that's the only viewing point. And Dr. Robert S. Harrington, which many researchers and scientists believe was murdered back in 1993, he was cancer-sighted. He was about, Dr. Robert S. Harrington tells us that the only place you can view this object is from the southern hemisphere, deep down in the southern hemisphere. And what Dr. Robert S. Harrington, who is mentioned in this article from the New York Times that I just read, he was the chief astronomer of the United States Naval Observatory in Washington, D.C. And when he died, well, I'll tell you why he died. In 1990, I believe it was. I've got his paper, published paper. It's on the Internet. Dr. Harrington stated that our calculations show that we were probably correct, and there's no reason for me to change my calculation as to the location of this incoming brown dwarf star. It's coming in from the south, from the direction of probably pretty close to the constellation Scorpius. And he says, I am dispatching an 8-inch telescope down to the southern location to view this object, and it's going to do blink comparison telescopic photographs to show whether or not, to actually prove whether or not this object exists and whether or not it is being drawn into our solar system. Now, of course, that would be devastating to the world to know that this huge object was coming in, because it would cause massive destruction of planet Earth just by its gravitational pull. It doesn't even hit the Earth, just gravitationally and magnetically passing by. You know what a magnet would do to a ball bearing. If you take a strong magnet, put it on your table, and put a ball bearing near it, that ball bearing will be drawn by the magnetic force to the magnet. Likewise, the magnetic and gravitational pull of this incoming passing brown dwarf star on its inexorable journey toward the sun would cause gravitational and magnetic devastation of Earth's surface. It would pluck and pull and manipulate Earth's crustal massite, as it has in the past, and as Dr. Emanuel Velikovsky proved in his 1950s books, scientific books explaining what happened to the Earth and how mountains were formed. This is exactly what happened in the past. Mountains were formed by the pulling and plucking of this planet, the crust, the very thin crust of our Earth, which rides on a basically molten lava mantle below it. Well, anyway, Dr. Harrington said, I'm sending a dispatching a telescope to view this object and do blink comparison photographs to prove that it's coming in. A blink comparison is essentially you'd have a still tripod photograph from a telescope taken of the sky on one night, and then maybe a night or two later you take the same position of the sky, a photograph also, and you can blink, illuminate each negative photograph, one overlaid upon the other. You take the two photographs and superimpose one upon the other. They're both transparent. And you blink, alternately illuminate each photographic plate at a rapid enough speed, and you can actually see what the eye can detect then any movement of any one of millions and millions of stars, stationary stars that are pictured in those two photographs. And that's what's called a blink comparison, which was originally designed by the astronomer Clyde Tombaugh, who discovered the planet Pluto back in 1930. Well, anyway, that's what Harrington was going to do. He said, when those photographic plates are returned to the U.S. Naval Observatory in Washington, D.C., we will analyze them and give you a report as to what we saw. Well, those plates were never revealed to the public. It was kept highly secret. There's another smoking gun of evidence, the cover-up. Even though Dr. Harrington died a few months later of what they called esophageal cancer, he died within a couple weeks, why didn't they reveal the contents of those photographic plates? Because they wanted to keep it secret. And there have been other murders, too.
I believe we have a right to know, and that is the premise that I go by every day, is that we have a right to know. And these people at the U.S. Naval Observatory, who the hell do they think they are? Or those even, right, at the South Pole, who the hell do they think they are?
That's
do they
the
think
Security
that this earth
Agency.
Belongs only to them? Does Obama believe that America belongs to him? Excuse me, they are working for us. This information, we have a right to know. John, is it okay if we take another couple callers?
Sure.
Let's go to John in Wisconsin and then Deborah in California. John, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, and good morning to John. John, I'm a good friend of Sheldon. You know who Sheldon is. I think I talked to him privately when I visited him a couple months ago. Sheldon's a good friend. What he's saying about Planet X is true, because I had a source that worked at the U.S. Air Force Space Command at the Weather Operations Branch. And she saw these classified maps, what they project, what they think the world's going to look like in the United States. And she told me this back in the 1990s, that this thing is going to be coming through in years to come. And she told me, stay off the coast. I hear rumors like Wisconsin's going to be underwater. I don't believe much in that. She said when she saw these maps, just the coastal areas were, even the state of Michigan, that we should just stay away from the low areas of the lakes. Another thing about the South Pole, and you're right about who the heck do they think they are. I've talked to a guy that's been to South Pole, and he says that they are doing underground digs down there. They have cities that are buried underneath the ice, pyramids. Steve Quayle had some guy that called and said his dad worked down there and saw coconut trees and palm trees buried underneath the ice down there. So they're doing secret stuff down there instead of the scientific studies they're always saying. This guy, I wish I could get him on the air. He's down there now, but he told me a lot of stuff what really goes on down there, what they're not telling us.
So, what you're talking about is not so much that they, what it is there have been discoveries, and this was stated by the Horizon Project. This is a group of scientists, thehorizonproject.com. They stated that there were, and this is from evidence that they've researched, there are 6 million square miles of forest, green forest, that's frozen beneath the South Pole. And what had happened, it's green because if it had submerged and had a chance to decay, it would never be green. Mm-hmm. But what happened is, in a very short time, in a matter of an hour or so, what was in a temperate zone, this forest, 6 million square miles, that's about the size of the United States, of forest, was rotated on planet Earth from a temperate zone down to the South Pole, where it instantly froze and became buried under many layers of ice. And they have discovered this. You can find evidence for it on the Internet, the actual discovery of this forest, green forest. There's only one way that could happen, is that is for these instantaneous rotation of the Earth vertically. If you look at the book of Isaiah, chapter 24, God says, and I'm going to give you the actual Hebrew quote translation, which I searched out and found the mm-hmm. Hebrew translation to Isaiah 24, verse 20. It says, God says, the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. He's going to make the earth wobble, basically. And he says, and it shall nod like a hammock. That's the actual Hebrew translation. Well, how can the earth nod like a hammock? If you visualize the globe, a model globe of Earth, place it in the bed of your backyard hammock, pull the hammock back, what would happen to the North Pole as you pull the hammock back before, in order to swing it? The North Pole would rotate vertically toward the equator.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because this guy said that, well, I mean, actually, they had maps maps of what this Antarctica looked like that actually was a fort. They found these maps in Turkey. But this guy said that they actually found where the Nazis went down there. They were digging down there for the down in the cities there. He says they got, he says to this day they still got two old rusted U-boats down there that have been abandoned and underneath underground tunnel lake and stuff. And I hope to get this guy in there. That could probably be another topic. But
military experience.
Yeah, and when I had a source like that told me at U.S. Space Command that this thing is coming to it. They have maps, but they think what the world's going to look like. So if somebody wants to doubt us, hey, I'm a witness right here, John. So I'm gonna get out of here so we can let other callers go on. And I appreciate you guys taking my call. And John, will you tell Sheldon I said hello?
I will. Thanks so much for calling.
Talk to you later.
Okay.
Yeah, John in Wisconsin, thanks for the call. Thanks for listening.
Can I just add a little comment to what he was saying?
John do that, Moore, and then we'll bring Deborah on from California.
Okay, John Moore is a former Green Beret. He has military contacts, and he has widely publicized this fact that he was given maps from the secret maps from the government, from the U.S. Navy, that show what the U.S. Navy believes is going to the United States will look like in the coming years, and that is where the West Coast is gone. California becomes a series of islands. The Great Lakes expand to one huge ocean or sea. The Mississippi River widens tremendously, and it looks almost like the Gulf, like the Great Lakes are emptying directly into the Gulf of Mexico. Parts of New Jersey, southern New Jersey, are totally inundated. And so this is from the U.S. government now, and that conforms to what the psychics say also. Now, I never believed in psychic predictions until I saw evidence of it in numerous cases, and one of them comes from Edgar Cayce, who in a trance stated these things. He didn't know what he was saying, but they recorded what he said, and he said that the Earth will rotate vertically with such that the warmer climate areas will be turned into a frozen area. There would be a shifting of the poles, he said. And
I should get that Edgar Cayce guy and have him on the air with me here, huh?
Yeah, well, he died in 1941, but
that would be a real trick, wouldn't it?
Right. Well, we have his information written down. I mean, his wife and his secretary methodically wrote down everything he said when he was in hypnotic trances. And incidentally, the reason he went into these trances was to heal people. People would call him from all over the world, telling them about diseases they had, and he would heal them because he had the supernatural power. And we know it comes from God, and it sounds like incredible. How can anybody know this? But the fact is, there is a whole library of his research. I'm not an Edgar Cayce fan, but what I wanted to tell you was that, pardon me?
And I agree with you that there is evidence of those kinds of things. It's 24 minutes after. Let's next go to Deborah in California. Deborah, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, John. This is Deborah. I was wondering if you got your leaves raked yesterday.
Yeah, I did some of it, Deborah.
I do a little bit every day. Deborah. Yeah,
I
was talking to Sheldon earlier yesterday and today. And what a wealth of information you are, John. And, I read Edgar Cayce back in 74, 75, 76, and I was 13, 14, somewhere in there. And, I read a few of his books, and then, of course, we know to turn to the Bible after that. But, yes, and I'm living up here in the foothills of the Sierras here. And so, according to the map,
outstanding. It's beautiful up there. Did you have winds blowing through your neighborhood this last weekend?
Excuse me?
Deborah, did you have the winds blowing through your neighborhood this last weekend?
But I'm up in Northern California, not like Santa Ana's. However, I did live down in L.A. and in Whittier area, Orange County. So I know from the Santa Ana winds and how they rush through there and go through the San Gabriels. And, it's pretty bad there, down there, yeah. But we did get some gusts up here, probably only 65 at some gusts then. But I was watching the treetops out my window, yeah. I have cedars and pine and such right out here.
Did you have a question for John today, Deborah?
Yes, my question is, I know that, you know, that, John, that you're big time into the planets and stuff, but I also know that you are a midtrip, and I wanted to ask you about a prophecy question here. I just want to know what your opinion is on where we are in the headlines that we read each day here, and, you know, about what's happening, if this Damascus, if they're going to, you know, it's going to become a, you know, what it says.
The New World Order and the Antichrist and all that.
Well, with Damascus, you know, Israel with Damascus, the ordeal and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And also, if you know about the four horns in Zechariah being equated to the quartet, you know, UN, UK, Russia, and...
I remember Zechariah chapter 2.
So.
In Zechariah chapter 2, yeah, those... as I recall now, I had prayed about that. That's very symbolic. God is saying that I am sending four carpenters or four craftsmen, according to in a complete Jewish Bible, it's translated as craftsmen who are going to terrify the terrifiers. Now, we have terrifiers on earth who are the New World Order, who are making everyone bow to them and making everyone their slave through fear and terror. Well, God is saying, I'm going to send four artisans. And those are, I believe,
that sounds like comets, quartet to me.
Angels who are portrayed as comets to
terrify
them.
Are they comets or are they people?
Well, you know, it's a very difficult thing, but every time I see allusions in the Bible to angels, very often those angels are equatable to comets that come in the sky and cause destruction. And we can look at past history, and the Bible is a history book. In the book of Joshua, chapter 10, the earth actually stood still for about a day or less. And this was Joshua was fighting the Amorites, and God actually ordained, you know, from the beginning of time that this comet would pass by. And like a giant invisible gravitational hand slowed down the rotation of Earth so that the sun would remain up in the area where the Israelites were fighting the Amorites.
Yeah.
And the sun remained a lot long enough so that God, the Israelites under Joshua, could destroy the Amorites. And what it says was that they were large objects came down crashing from the sky. And that's God. It said God did all the work of beating, destroying the Amorites with these falling objects. Now, why would objects fall at the same time a comet's coming by? Because a comet is a gravitational magnet. It pulls all these bodies with it, and when it gets close to Earth, Earth starts sucking them in with Earth's own gravitational field. And this volley of comets is what came down, and God ordained it would come down on the Amorites, not on the Israelites. So that's
you for calling, and thank you for listening. John DiNardo will continue this discussion right after the break. This is the Morning Liberty program. We are live at the Micro Effects Network, and we'll return in a moment. It is 33 minutes after the hour. This is the Morning Liberty program. I hope you are enjoying the discussion. And I know sometimes it can get heated as we all have our own take on the issues. And there are many issues that have not been disclosed if we have gone and done our own digging to find the evidence. And I appreciate the intel that John brings, and I appreciate you listening. I hope you're enjoying the conversation. This morning over in Europe, there are EU discussions underway regarding what to do about the financial meltdown happening in Europe. And Timothy Geithner, I think, is in the middle of a presentation where he may think he has all the answers. And it's kind of fun sometimes how we act as if we have all the answers. And I love it for me when a storm comes in and we find out real quick who's in charge. Sometimes we think we're so smart. Sometimes we think we're so strong. Sometimes we think we are so good that we can fix anything. And I think Mother Nature reminds us every once in a while that God's in charge. Or there are some people who have concluded that, HARP technology is in charge. HARP technology is used to instigate weather attacks around the world. In fact, John DiNardo, I think we have been hearing about Planet X for some time. And I think Planet X was suggested that the end of the world would occur in the year 2000 and other times, and many of us, I think, have just discounted the whole thing, that it's not going to happen at all. And it's interesting, as we began our discussion today, you mentioned the Santa Ana winds are even evidence of this Planet X.
Well, I wish I had organized a list of all the disasters that have occurred around the world over the last several years. I mean, that list itself is so compelling and would just blow away any skepticism that people might have about this object not coming in. The evidence is so earth-shattering, pardon the pun. I mean, I'm trying to recount just from memory without having a list in front of me, but the entire nation of Pakistan, if you recall, a couple of years ago was flooded out. Ireland just recently was flooded. Poland, Portugal, Spain were flooded. Portions of the United States, many portions, I have it all on videotape because I've been videotaping severe weather reports from the Weather Channel ever since the year 2004. Even in areas
I
Texas.
Think it's outstanding that there is such a thing as the Weather Channel. It wasn't that long ago that there wasn't such a thing. And I think it's easier to keep track of these kinds of things because of that channel, because it's there.
Oh, I have it on videotape. I mean, portions of Texas, even though Texas has gone through a horrific drought, and this drought is a part of the whole set of phenomena that accompanies the devastation of planet Earth, Planet X, and that is drought. You're going to see droughts alongside of floods. It's really incredible. And again,
in the business of radio,
jet stream.
The audience changes about every 15 minutes, and sometimes we are listening as we do other things, and I want to make sure that people have access to your intel. It's kind of fun. I have guests that I invite to join me here, and how often I'm told 2 hours. What are we going to talk about for 2 hours? I'm going to be done in 5 minutes with what I have to present. And I tell them you would be amazed at how fast 2 hours flies by. I want to make sure, John, that people have access to your intel, to your information. Could you share again with your website and spell it for us? Maybe if you could do it twice again, I want to make sure that people have access to your evidence.
Okay, thelightofdayradioshow.com. TheLightOfDayRadioShow.com. At the top of the page, there's a big Planet X logo. Just click on that. Wait a few seconds for the big page to load. And if there's nothing but audio interviews of my dramas from my Planet X radio broadcast, that would be very interesting to many people to listen to these Planet X audio dramas that I've devised. So it's the Planet X. I'm sorry. TheLightOfDayRadioShow.com.
Thank you very much for that information. And it's interesting as we take a look at what is happening. And every week there's new stuff. I am amazed every week. I'm surprised every week. And,
you know,
and I think that for a while, when some of us started to become aware of this, we went into fear. We started to think, where am I going to hide? What am I going to do? And I think some of us have decided, well, if the end of the world is coming, then why should I try?
Well, this is how
why
God
should
draws
I make
them.
The effort?
This
and
is how
and
God
I think there are some things, John, that are worth the effort.
God draws us to him. Sometimes we need fear. Some of us actually need to be frightened because we're so enamored with our sports and our fun and our technical games and all the physical delights that we have in this world, the material
delights,
that
we're wrapped up in
that we don't care
things,
about God.
Like we are thick and thin things.
Yes. And we just don't care about God. So God, in the book, in the Bible, it says often, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that wisdom is knowing God. That's what he means by wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowing him. And that happened to me in my life when I was afraid that I might die. And as an atheist at that time, I immediately turned to God because I thought my life was in danger. And that's what happens to people when their lives are in danger. They immediately, the blinders, the smokescreen of delusion is swept away from their eyes and they can see their Creator, the one who keeps their hearts beating every second, who food lobster.
Yeah, I've heard of that. There are no atheists in foxholes.
Exactly. And that's why God is doing this. He's bringing us through fear because he's saying, okay, basically, I don't want to speak for God, but you can read it throughout the Bible. It's time to close shop.
Now, wait a minute. It is my job to speak for God. There you go.
Right. But to paraphrase what he speaks to us in the Bible, it's time to take everybody out of the stand, all the spectators out of the stands and put them on the playing field and force them to decide which side are you going to play for. Because you only, God is saying again, I'm paraphrasing him, you only have a short, brief light. It's like life. It's like the flicker of a candle. Don't waste it enjoying yourself, and then all of a sudden you die, and you're forgotten. Look, Abraham Lincoln, he's forgotten. Julius Caesar, he's forgotten. Teddy Roosevelt, he's forgotten. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, everybody. All these guys, they're all dead. They might have been great people, but they're all dead and gone. God,
I have people ask me all the time, they say, RJ, what if we lose? What if we get ourselves involved in all of this good works or these good efforts, and then we lose in the end? What point is it? And I always talk about, you know, win, lose, or draw. It matters which side of the fence we're on.
And in the words of God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, what good does it do to gain the whole world and lose your soul? You gain the whole world for a flicker of time in your lifetime. And then the eternal life that God has promised for you in a brand new body, a brand new indestructible body with him in a perfect world of love and perfection and joy forever and ever. That's gone because we wasted it during this flicker of a lifetime. So I try to devote my mind to recognizing and being aware right now even of the presence of God, because he's never leaving us. Every second my heart beats, doesn't it? I went to sleep last night, my heart beat for about 30,000 times. I wasn't even aware of it. I woke up, it seemed like 3 seconds later, but God had not forgotten me, not for 1 second.
There have been a couple of times in my life where I have almost died because of sickness and because of collisions, okay? Accidents, and I find that for me, every day that I have is a gift, and for me, I do my best so that every day matters, okay? And I do my best to invite people to do the very same thing, to be 100% of who you are, to be our very best, to do the right thing because it is the right thing, those kinds of things. John, let me ask you, if you were to give a time, if it's even possible, could you estimate when you think Planet X may be at its closest point to the Earth?
As we get closer, we see these events ramping up. It becomes a little bit easier to see through the mist ahead, just like as you're walking through a field, a misty, foggy field. It's hard to see an object, but as you walk closer and get closer to it, you begin to see the outline of that object. Well, we're beginning to see the outline of the future, the near future right now. This object, I believe, is, from everything I've studied, is coming up through our ecliptic plane. That's the invisible disk in space on which all the planets revolve around the sun. It's coming up from below, sort of like firing a ball bearing up underneath to the underside of a circular table.
So it's coming at us on our blind spot, correct?
That's right. And that's why they had to go, the U.S. government and their secretive South Pole telescope facility had to go down to the South Pole despite those harsh conditions in order to view it, because it's like somebody firing a ball bearing from the floor up to the underside of a huge circular table. That circular table being likened to the ecliptic, which is that invisible disk in space on which all the planets revolve around the sun. So imagine that ball bearing being fired up under at an angle to the underside of the table. The ball bearing penetrates the table and then loops around the top of the table, up over the top of the table, and back down again. Well, at the center of that table is a bright light, which is the sun. And the sun is what it is drawing this ball bearing in, this object. It never hits the sun because of repulsion forces, but what it does, it just loops around in a huge elliptical pattern, just as the scientists tell us that it travels in an elliptical pattern, like the way comets
orbit. So now I believe it's in the around, and that guy who called in, Jim, was correct. According to ancient historians, it does come up, penetrates the ecliptic plane, that bottom underside of the table, around Jupiter and the asteroid belt. Again, as we said, as you go out from the sun, you have the third planet, Earth, and then the fourth planet, Mars, and then the fifth ring is the asteroid belt of debris, and then the sixth planet is, the fifth planet is Saturn. Jupiter. So between the asteroid belt and Jupiter, which is a little further out from Mars, that's where it penetrates the underside of the ecliptic, and I believe it's about to come up right, it's coming up right now. And we'll look at the Bible, and you can look at the timeline. The timeline says very clearly in several places in the Bible that the Antichrist will rule for exactly 3.5 years. It says time, times, and a half a time. That means 1 year plus 2 years plus a half a year. Now, it's stated
do you think the Antichrist is a reference to a planet, you know, out there in space?
No, it's clear that the Antichrist is a man. You can see, I've studied many references to this Antichrist. Now, there is a spirit of Antichrist, true, that is in everybody, and that's demonic spirits. These are fallen angels that God tells us that inhabit the earth, and now they're becoming more powerful and more abundant as they fall to the earth, according to Revelation 12.
For Deborah in California, you mentioned regarding the four horns from Zechariah that it may have alluded to comets, okay? So that's why I was asking if it may allude to a celestial sphere.
Four comets, four carpenters or craftsmen, according to the complete Jewish Bible, have come to terrorize those men on earth, the power elite, who have been terrorizing God's people. And God's people are all those people that don't even know God right now, but they will. When the fear overwhelms them, they will know God. And God knows them. He knows the future. He knows they will turn to Him. And He calls them His people. And all they're being terrorized right now and forced to worship this Antichrist. Well, right now it's obedience to the government. But the plan of this Satan and his fallen angels is to have the entire world worship Satan in the place of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way to worship him is to take the mark of the beast in your right hand, which means, oh, you get all the food you want and you can be taken care of, but you have to exchange your soul. As Jesus said, what good is it to gain the whole world and lose your own soul? You exchange, you sell your soul to the devil, basically. And so these carpenters, these craftsmen coming in the sky are going to so terrify these men. And these men in the ruling elite, the Illuminati, the power elite, Freemasons who rule the world, are being terrified right now. They're in great terror. They're going underground. There is voluminous evidence of their underground cities. And I can read to you from Marshall Master's great documentary.
Even Bill Cooper in the year 1999 was talking about more than 100 of those deep underground military bases that have been prepared for those guys who will go and they'll think they'll be safe by hiding in the earth in one of those things.
That's right. Marshall Master's in his book, Planet X Forecast and 2012 Survival Guide, states on page 137, talks about Philip Schneider, a great geologist who was interacting with governments, speaking to governments around the world on behalf of the U.S. government. He was involved in the construction of these underground cities, Philip Schneider. Philip Schneider was murdered in 1996 for giving 30 lectures to the people and unveiling the truths that he was supposed to keep secret. According to Philip Schneider, I'm reading from Marshall Master's book, as of December 1995, there were 131 underground bases worldwide. The subterranean, that's underground variants, are known in the black operations community as deep underground military bases or DUMs. The submarine versions, those are
that's probably the correct acronym.
DUMB, right.
I do love the scripture where it says that they shall fall into the pit that they have dug for themselves.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't noticed that. that scripture. But yeah, in various other places, it talks about the men, the kings and the captains and the kings and the rich men all hiding themselves under the rocks for fear of the wrath of the Lamb. And that's exactly what's going to happen. Oh, they're going to be going into caves, which they're doing now. Although caves are very dangerous, you know, when you have earthquakes and shifting of the Earth's crust due to the gravitational molestation of Earth.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking. You know, I don't think there's any way to be safe in one of those things.
No, and you know what? These guys are scared to death of going under there. In fact, I spoke to one guy who worked either with the government or civilian agency that actually has information dealing with these undersea and underground locations, okay? This guy told me that the reason that they're creating some earthquakes with HAARP is generating some of the earthquakes. The reason they're doing this is they're creating earthquakes in certain depths, at certain depths and in certain areas, to test the viability and the integrity of their underground cities. They're seeing, well, let's create an earthquake here, and if this particular area holds up okay, then we can be sure that we can go into our underground city and not be crushed by falling rocks. And that's what I was told was the reason why they're generating these HAARP-type earthquakes to test the viability. And I have a feeling, I'm only giving you my suspicion, I have a feeling that the tests are not very favorable to these power elite because they're seeing that their underground cities may not be viable at all. But I think they're deathly afraid. Now, they're also getting on to another subject, the International Space Station, I believe.
John, we have about 5 minutes to go, and I'm thinking you know the most important stuff that we need to know. Just letting you know.
Oh, okay. So they do have the underground cities, and I'll really go quickly through it because of the lack of time. Philip Schneider, who was murdered, a geologist for the government, he stated U.S. subterranean locations, deep underground military bases, are typically located on government-owned land. For example, there are 9 deep underground military bases situated under Nellis Air Force Base north of Las Vegas. The average size and cost, well, 4.5 cubic miles. That's huge. At a cost of $17 to $31 billion. The largest base size and cost located in Sweden. It is 30 cubic miles at a cost of $2 trillion. It took 5 years to build and was wholly underwritten by the United Nations. Well, I could go on and on, but to give you back to show you the evidence that this thing is coming in, geology and science gives us some of the most powerful evidence that this thing has come in the past. And we look at it like you would look at a timepiece. Every 36 and a half centuries it comes in. So let's look back and find out if it's due now. If we see evidence, geological evidence, that this object came in and caused gravitational and magnetic molestation of Earth's surface, an explosion of volcanoes 36 and a half centuries ago, then we know that it's due just about now. Well, geologists tell us that 36 and a half centuries ago, the great Santorini volcano exploded and destroyed the Minoan civilization. And wouldn't you believe that God has actually verified his own testimony and his own supernatural power by telling us in the book of Exodus, chapter 9, you can go read it, where God said, told Moses and Aaron to cast up ashes from the furnace and throw those ashes up in the air in the face of Pharaoh and his magicians. And God said, when that happens, when you cast those ashes up, Moses and Aaron, I will cause the entire land of Egypt to be covered with ashes and hot cinders. And that's what happened. It burned the faces of Pharaoh and his magicians. Well, scientifically, that was a result of the explosion of the great volcanic caldera, Santorini, on the Aegean Sea. Well, there you go. Science meets religion. Science meets the Bible. That was 36 and a half centuries ago, but there's other evidence.
If you were to take a stab at it, do you know what month and what year this thing may arrive at its closest place to the Earth?
That's cutting too close. In fact, the only ones who might even have an inkling about that would be the government, because they have our trillions of dollars of hard-earned wages that they have stolen from us in the form of taxes, and they're using for themselves so that they can protect themselves while we die. So they know, because they have the space telescopes, they have all the complicated computers and everything to make estimations, and even then I don't think they know exactly what month it's going to be.
So U.S. Navy officials have that intel in their possession, and I'm thinking, excuse me, we have the right to know, and yet they still are trying to hold it back from us.
They have written in stone that they want to kill 12 out of every 13 human beings on planet Earth. If you go to the Georgia Guidestones, it'll say in stone that they intend to have a global population of a half a billion. Well, there are almost 12 and a half billion people in the world already. If you bring it down to a half a billion, you're killing 12 out of every 13 people. And that's their plan. They love to do that. This is part of their gleeful hopes that they can kill 12 out of 13 people. So why tell us when they can just not tell us and let us stay on the surface while they go underground and survive? However, God's going to turn the tables on them. God promises he's going to turn the tables on them.
Could you go ahead and mention your website again? I hear the music coming in. We have just moments left.
TheLightOfDayRadioShow.com. TheLightOfDayRadioShow.com. Click on the Planet X logo, and you'll get all my audios.
John, thank you for taking the time with us today.
Thanks so much for having me, RJ.
And keep that Planet X whistle of yours blowing, okay?
I will, as long as I can.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I will have
my people get in touch with your people, and we will do this again.
Okay, thanks so much for having me.
Tomorrow, Republic President Tim Turner will be joining me here live. That's tomorrow morning. TruOdd is next here at the, the Micro Effect Network. Thursday, I have a, trying to look at the calendar real quick. Don Nikoloff will be joining me on Thursday, and then Ken Cousins on Friday. There you go. This is the Morning Liberty Program. I hope you've enjoyed the conversation with John DiNardo. Again, TruOdd is next, and I'll see you tomorrow right here at the Micro Effect Network.